So as we stand, we pray. God of love, open our eyes to your word, to the world, and to what you are calling us to be and to do. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Today, as been said, we celebrate All Saints' Day and give thanks for the wonderful privilege of being linked in fellowship with countless saints around the world of many different nations and cultures. As you know, here at St. Lawrence, we have links with Christians in Africa, South America, Nepal, Pakistan, and South India. And we keep up to date with news from these places through the World Church Notice Board. I hope you've noticed it in the porch as you come in or go out. And there's a blue file kept on the table at the back of the church. As I take the notices off the notice board, they go into the blue file. Well, over the last few months, we've been looking in our sermon series at various pressing issues facing Christians. And today, I have been given the topic, refugee and stranger. This past year, the question of refugees and migrants has been one of the top news stories, with hundreds of thousands fleeing across Europe to escape violence. Media reports have been full of heart-rending accounts of the traumas faced by these migrants, whether it's the thousands drowning in the Mediterranean as they try to reach safety in Europe, in crowded and unsafe boats. Reports of razor wire fences erected across Europe to halt the flow of migrants. And of course, this week, we have also had the news of the closure of the Calais migrant camp, the jungle, and all the repercussions of this. Where do we as Christians stand with all these very extremely difficult issues? Well, we turn to the scriptures, as we do as Christians, to find out what the scriptures can help us to understand. And our starting point is today's Old Testament reading. If you've got your Pew Bibles, page 174, Deuteronomy chapter 10, from verse 12. Page 174. And Moses is here explaining to the Israelites what God had said to him on Mount Sinai. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve him with your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments for your own well-being. And then, a bit further down, verse 17, this is the key verse. For the Lord your God is God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You also shall love the strangers, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And the theme is taken up again in the Gospel. Jesus said to the congregation in Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free." Who are these strangers whom the Israelites are commanded to love? Various translations of the Bible use the word stranger, alien, foreigner, or sojourner in this verse. And the reference is to landless and therefore economically weak people who, for some reason, are living either temporarily or permanently away from their own land, their own tribe, or people. In Israel, the law protected the resident alien, a foreigner who had settled permanently in the land. They couldn't own land, but they could participate in communal activities. And the reason given again and again is, "For you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Well, there are many references in both Old and New Testament to this call to love, care, and treat with justice those who are strangers or foreigners. From Leviticus, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourselves, for you were foreigners in Egypt. From Exodus, do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners because you were foreigners in Egypt. And then from the New Testament, Jesus says to his disciples, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then he goes on to add, just as you did this for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. From Galatians, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And in case we wondered what this means, who is the neighbor, we remember how Jesus answered the Jewish legal expert who asked just that, who is my neighbor? And he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And then at the end, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Yes, the biblical teaching is clear, to love, to care for, to treat as equals those who are resident aliens, those who live among us, yet are from a different social or cultural group. Our Lord's summary of the Ten Commandments remind us that the command to love our neighbors as ourselves is second only to the command to love God. In fact, this hardly needs saying because we know it is true. The difficulty comes when we try to apply this to the complex situation of immigration and treatment of refugees in today's world. Of course, our world is vastly different from what it was in Bible times, both Old and New Testaments. Border controls, passports, national and global economies make the issues facing politicians and local governments very complex and controversial. So there are two questions in our minds. How should we as Christians respond to the growing number of migrants who are desperately fleeing situations of violence and terror? And secondly, how do we welcome and care for refugees once they get to this country? Very cautiously give some thoughts on these questions because they're impossible to answer. There's no simple answer. The first question, our response to the growing migrant problem, is a very topical and difficult dilemma. We have a Christian duty to care for those in need, wherever they may be. We know that. It's clear from the scripture. But we must be realistic. Our duty of care covers both all those resident in UK as well as those who want to come into UK. So we cannot have an open door to have justice in the way we live and occupy our policies. The vast majority of asylum seekers want to work hard, not merely to receive aid and benefits. They want to come, to be respected, to contribute to our economy, to live in safety. But an open door to all who want to come to UK puts immense pressure on housing, jobs, the NHS, schools, and so on, all our public facilities. So our government is responding to popular pressure by trying to limit the net immigration figures. And the big political and legal challenge is how to decide who should be allowed to stay in or to come into UK as refugees, and to do so with compassion and justice, accepting the fact that we can't have an open door to all who want to come here. The United Nations High Commission for Refugees estimates there are around 21 million refugees and 65 million who have been forcibly displaced. And of these, the 9 richest nations in the world, which includes the UK, are hosting fewer than 9% of the total population of refugees. We have a duty of care. So what's happening to them? They're going into neighbouring countries who are much less able to care for them and to serve them. The anti-persecution charity Open Doors reports that between 50 and 80% of all Christians in Iraq and Syria have been forced to abandon their homelands. Most of these are now internally displaced persons, or they've fled over the border to Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey, and they want to return, believing they have a vital role to play in the rebuilding of their countries and in the future of the Middle East. Christian Solidarity Worldwide, another charity campaigning for an end to religious persecution, write, "So much of the media focus is on asking, where will these people go? But we believe that to tackle the crisis, we need to ask, what made them flee in the first place, and how can we address this?" And one reason is the increase in violations of religious freedom in many countries. So they've launched a campaign, Real Change for Refugees. And they've got, at the moment, there's a petition going out, which will be go to the government of Burma for care of people in Burma. And there's a, if you'd like to sign the petition, there are details at the back. And that will be sent in at the end of next month to Christian Solidarity Worldwide. There are no easy answers. So what can we do? Just a few bullet points. Help the desperate to remain safely in their own countries. Stop arms sales to countries abusing human rights. Be informed and see the handout for suggested websites. And then on the light of that, pray. Lobby the government to do more for those who we cannot admit to UK. And then pray. Dare we pray for a change of heart among the militants? We have a great God, and this can happen. Pray for a change of heart among those, the warring factions. And pray for Christians seeking to serve and act as peacemakers in desperate situations. So little, but what else can we do? Be informed and pray. And now we come to the second practical question. How do we welcome and care for refugees who do come to this country? And first I'd like to give some definitions. An asylum seeker is someone in the process of claiming refugee status. When they come into the country, they, at the point of entry, they claim asylum, and then they give an interview and give all the reasons why they're claiming asylum, and that's all put in their file, and then that's judged later by a judge through the Home Office. A refugee is someone who has a well-founded fear of persecution for reasons of race, religion, nationality, sexual orientation, or membership of a particular social group or political opinion. An economic migrant is someone who has moved to another country to work. And according to the Refugee Council's website, refugees are not economic migrants. The Harbour Project, which is where I have the privilege, and so one or two other people, Elizabeth and Peter from this congregation, we go and volunteer there. And that, in Swindon, aids refugees and asylum seekers across Swindon, giving them friendship, advice, and hope. Well, why Swindon, you might ask? Because Swindon has become one of the Southwest's dispersal towns for asylum seekers entering UK. A bit more information on this handout, which you can take away and read later. So just to give you an idea of the sort of situation which we face, I'm going to tell you about one person. I call him A. I'm not going to give his full name. He was a successful businessman in Aleppo, and he arrived in UK last year in desperation because of the violence there, and he was soon given leave to remain in UK. He was in touch frequently by phone with his wife and 5 young daughters who had fled Aleppo and were living nearer the Turkish border, staying with relatives in safety there. He tried for months to get his family to the UK and finally succeeded this summer. And some of the items of bedding, etc., given by people from this church have helped him to set up home with his family. At first, his children, who knew no English, were so traumatized that they didn't like to leave their house, fearing bombs every time they heard an aircraft flying over. I asked him if he wanted to return to Syria when peace returns. He said, "Of course, that is my home. But if it takes, say, 5 years, will you still return?" "Yes, of course. My wife and I will return." "But what about the children? Will they want to return?" "That is the real problem. They will have grown up here and will not know life in Syria. They're primary age, five primary age children. I don't know what the future holds for our family." The Harbour Project is a lifeline for many refugees and asylum seekers. They give classes in English, cooking and sewing. There's a film night, a football club for the young men, outings and so on. As well as helping people through all the intricacies of British society, whether it's registering with a DP, getting the children into school, making phone calls on their behalf when they struggle with English, etc. If anyone feels they'd like to know a bit more about that, I'd be very happy to take you in as a visitor to see the harbour and then get a feel of what it's like to be there. So do see me and we'll arrange to go in there. And finally, Swindon has recently been declared a city of sanctuary, a place calling everyone in Swindon to come together and pledge support for refugees and asylum seekers already living in Swindon. And there's a website, it's on the handout. "For the Lord your God loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger." As Moses passes on these words to the Israelites, the message given to him by God. God has blessed us and called us to act. On the handout that you should have received as you entered, you will find some more information and also some suggestions as to what we can all do in response to God's call to love the stranger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.